Well, folks, I hope you liked that beginning tunes there. I felt it was sort of appropriate. I was going to have my guest on, but something had come up with his song there. It's a very special since birth with Samson. By the way, my name's Andrew Fetter, and if you haven't guessed, this is When Pigs Fly, coming from you down in the illustrious city of Las Vegas, Nevada, where what happens here stays here, and of course, your money always stays here. Let me make sure of that. That's what you say. Well, not me. The casinos do. Watch the movie Casino, and they'll tell you why. Hey, so folks, just wanted to, first of all, thank everybody who are listening right now, and will be listening into future archives. I was going to have a special guest, that was what I was saying, Samson, that was his song, Since Birth, but unfortunately something came up that he could not be here, so hopefully I will have him on down the line. I will have several guests coming on once a month, because I have every show is every other week, and so usually I like line up 1 week, spew my guts out, and 1 week we'll do an interview. In fact, just to let you know, next month, I have a special guest. If you ever check out a site, it's called myufo.com. That's myufo.com. And you'll get a kick out. It has deals with UFOs, and it's basically a blog site. It's almost like if ever anybody knows about crooksandliars.com, I would say he's like the UFO crooksandliars.com. In the UFO blog sphere. So it's more like, you know, if you go to the blogs and the political blogs, he has an absolutely fantastic blog site. Oh my God. It has information. It has, and it doesn't deal, by the way, just with UFOs. It also deals with, extraterrestrials, of course, but also gets into some haunted house stuff that I'm telling you, you can watch some of the flicks on there and you'll just be on edge, you know. It reminds me of the days when I was a little kid and watched Chiller late at night. And for those who know, now you know how old I am. Then that's in May. And then the following month, I will have another special guest in June, which I'm just started her book. She also has a show, by the way. Her name is, by the way, Marsha McMahon. And her book is called A Peaceful Planet, which she had sent me a copy, diligently, of course. And she's a channeler. She is a psychic, and she is connected with Princess Diane's spirit and with John Lennon, which will be interesting. That's in June. Oh, and by the way, the next month, I forgot to say to you, skipping off a tangent here, The guest I'm going to have on next month with MyFU.com, his name is Lewis Martin, and that will be, like I said, very interesting. And of course, I said Marsha McMahon the following month, which will be in June. And then in July, I have another special guest. She goes by Carrie. She's an astrologist, and that will be very interesting as well. And I have another great announcement to announce. Announcement to make announce. God, that's sort of redundant here. But I'll make it anyway. If any of you are in the Las Vegas area or are listening in Las Vegas, on May 12th, that's the Saturday, just before Mother's Day, I will be having a special event where I will be having a book signing event. It's at, if any of you want, you can check it out on my site. It's going to be at the Psychic Guy bookstore in Las Vegas on Charleston. And the cross streets is Charleston and Rainbow. So if you can all come down, that would be really great. It's between 1 and 5 o'clock. Anyway, the subject I want to get into today is dealing with integrity. And it's interesting that I came up with this concept because I was thinking about it. Actually, prior I thought I was going to have a guest, and then just popped in my head because it seems like, God, this one subject, and never, I sort of, I don't know how I did it, but I sort of passed it up. I didn't get into it. And especially when it deals with politics and religion and spirituality, it's sort of a cross-link. And a lot of people ask, well, what, Andy, what the hell is spirituality, what does integrity have to do with spirituality? Well, it does, obviously. What does it have to do with religion? That's even a given. In politics, well, we all know there ain't any, there hasn't been in who knows where in any country as far as integrity is confirmed, as far as it's entailed with anybody. But integrity. Well, first of all, what is integrity? It's basically adhering to the facts of a principle, the concepts that a person has. Now, this might sound very philosophical when I get into it, but integrity. You're adhering basically to your principles and values, both whether spoken or with an action. Sort of like an honorary system, you know? And, you know, you run into it when people project it out or advertise it and, you know, through your daily lives and stuff. But again, what is it? You know, I remember I had just bought a car about a year ago, and actually the company I bought it from is named Integrity Chrysler. I have, by the way, a PT Cruiser, purple one. And anyway, and I was just, you know, they put this advertising like integrity. Why do they put that using integrity as a link in their concept for business? Well, it's basically to show that, you know, that they're showing that, you know, that they believe in their concepts. You know, that they stand behind their word, whatever they disclose. And I remember way back when, I remember my father one time talked about what is integrity. And, you know, in involving concepts as far as the honor system, basically. And he used to tell me, I remember, when he deals with business and the likes, that in business, in the old days, you'd shake a hand, and that was your word. That was your bond. And based upon that word that you just, you know, made an agreement to, the backbone of that, which would be your honor, adhering to your honor, adhering to your word, would be your integrity. So it's sort of like an honorary system, in a way. It's more of an honor, which is, I think, such a foundation for a lot of things. Almost everything, in fact, if you think about it. We have to show or have integrity. Now you can think about it, and you can have like many concepts of the usage and having what is the level. Because integrity is not like something is black or white. It's like sort of like a thermometer. It's like a level. And you'll notice that the reason why there are disagreements is everybody has their own view or level of integrity. What there's an absolute integrity of honorary system. That's pretty much a given because it's like a thermometer. You can actually regulate it and watch it. But when you meet somebody and you make them to say something and then they come back and they don't actually keep their word, then you're going, whoa, what happened here? And not showing any form of integrity. And then you might get upset over it because maybe your level of integrity was a little bit higher. So this concept of integrity is very simple in its form, and it is definitely not like an absolute where it's, oh, it's a black wall, white wall, green wall. It's not a concept that can be, it would be almost like measuring the velocity of things, the speed. But it's more like, in actuality, like a level, because everybody has a certain levels, like I said, and those levels can change. Sorry, I'm having a sip of my Starbucks coffee here. But everybody has their simple, has a level of their integrity. What does it entail? How far? And you know, and thinking back, you know, like I said, we're talking about shaking a hand and integrity. You know, and here's another simplistic form of it, and sort of ironic that, I mean, you deal in business, people have to, you sign a contract, and you make a contract, and then you adhere to the contract. It's not the contract itself that binds you, it's the integrity behind you that you accept that contract, to complete that contract. And this happens not just in signing a paper, but also it can be a promise. It can be a slight promise. It can be, you know, whatever. And then, of course, those things can change due to certain courses. Like if you find that you're in a contract and it's not going worth, then it's be your integrity to tell the other person, hey, this ain't going to work out. That would be the opposite end of the integrity form where somebody tells their situation. You know, I'll give you an example of a marriage. Basically, in a marriage is or a relationship is a contract, a binding trust between the two people in a relationship. So if you enter into that contract of a binding relationship with your spouse, girlfriend, or whatever, boyfriend, or whatever, there is a form of integrity. So if you mess around on the side without their knowledge, there's a lack of integrity. But if you complain and say, hey, you know, enough is enough with the relationship, and you want to split or separate, that's actually showing a form of integrity by acknowledging that with both yourself and the person that this relationship is no longer possible in what its present form. So it can change as far as the circumstance, and people can, like I said, can grow from their integrity, you know. But this also relates to, now I'm going from the personalized concept of integrity, and it expands into religion and as well as politics, which are easy to attack with the lack of integrity. I mean, politics is pretty easy. I mean, i.e., for example, Bush lying to us, and along with Mr. Cheney, which I heard, by the way, is the other I word, the impeachment word, of they're talking about it in Congress, of Cheney and misleading us into the war of Iraq. Where's the integrity? There wasn't any. All right? So that's their level of integrity. So what do you think they were, they're that level? Now, you know, the thermometer of integrity of, for example, Bush and Cheney, very little or absolutely none. Then you look around the circle of people who they can relate to or people who speak on their behalf. Where is their level of integrity? Well, I remember not long ago there was Sheryl Crow, and also I forgot her name, the co-producer of Al Gore's movie dealing with global warming, and they had bumped into Karl Rove, and when they spoke with him, he just sort of blew him off like that, you know, basically told him to go to hell, F you. And they were trying to espousing that if the situation with global warming is not a political situation, it's an ethical. It's where we're all in it together. I mean, that's a given. And it's, for example, the ethical situation for no matter what your political situation that we are on this planet need to deal with, which is another thing of integrity here. And what they do, he do, blow them off, you know. What do you expect, Cheryl? I mean, this guy has so zero integrity for himself, I don't even know how he looks in the mirror. I mean, he's so in the mix of, you know, outing a CIA director, you know? I mean, not a CIA operative with Valerie Plame. I mean, that's a given. That's sort of inside, you know? Because Libby took it in the shorts, and he on the backside, and he was the fall guy, and yet they still haven't really gotten to the core of who was created the treason or who lied. You know, where's the integrity? Where's the integrity behind Condoleezza Rice, who spoke out that, oh my God, you know, heydays before, right before the invasion of Iraq, that Saddam was trying to get the mushroom technology. He was going to get the bomb. And while everybody was thinking about, wow, what a couple airplanes, few airplanes did in New York and Washington, can you imagine a terrorist or someone who hates us get hold of a bomb? And out of that fear, they created, without any integrity, the lie, and then creating with the lie of justifying us going into a war that we had no reason to go in there because there was no real immediate threat. They're asking her to come up to the Senate and the Congress to speak about it. Of course she doesn't want to. She doesn't have any integrity. She doesn't. And you can walk around the circle within, I can just start the web starting from Bush, and you can almost draw like a little circle around them, keep on going and going and going, and you'll see the lack of integrity. And then you can keep on going with the same little web with Wolfowitz. Oh my God, wasn't he part of the Bush administration? And of course we all heard about what happened with now his girlfriend being paid with our money, our tax money, to sit in a chair just so he can have a little every other day, take care of his little lollipop, if that's all he has. And he lied about that. And then you can keep on going around in a little circle, and you keep on going around, and you know, you can go through the RNC with the Republican National Party and how they lied, and how they did the lack of integrity of covering up situations, you know. I mean, from the malfeasance to the cover-ups, you know, there's no integrity. Integrity would have honor and say, you know what, I messed up. Let's figure out how to fix it. Integrity says, you know what, yep, I had the wrong information to go in Iraq. Well, the reason why Bush and the administration and all his cohorts and all along with all his pundits, including Fox News, why they don't want to talk about it, and so the lies and the concepts of leading us into the war, because they jump back and they'll go, you guys had the same intelligence. Another lie, another situation of lack of integrity, playing the Goebbels on people's minds, and lying to the degree to say, yeah, they all had the same intelligence. Well, they didn't. It was picked. Is cherry-picked and delegated to the Congress. Another situation of a lying and no integrity. And now it's coming up with that we have former CIA Director Tenet. Remember that old saying, it's a slam dunk? Oh, we're finding out there wasn't a slam dunk about weapons of mass destruction or getting nukes. That Saddam was trying to get nukes. And that was all BS too. Or playing bullshit. Because we know what happened there. Now this is coming out. The other I word, of course, like integrity, impeachment. I didn't want to jump into this, but I guess that I am. Because it's now out there. Because I know Democrats are thinking, what? What's the point of having an impeachment? Well, you know, place an impeachment on Cheney. They wouldn't do it on Bush because that would make Cheney president if Bush was out finally outed. And the process of impeachment is so long that they're saying, well, you know what? He's only got a year and a half left. And yeah, and they're right. You know what? If we start doing an impeachment action, just like going to court, how long does it take to go to court? Takes a year, year and a half, 2 years. By that time, he's out the door. Which I think is another situation we need to probably change, or an impeachment proceedings go a lot quicker. but that'd be pretty hard with all the other thing issues. So I understand why the lack of desire to proceed with impeachment at this time. It is pretty late. It could have been done back in 2004, right after he became elected, but, you know, who controlled the Congress then? You know, that Congress that had no integrity? Oh, yeah, they were Republicans who controlled the Congress, and you know what they were doing. They were worrying about covering up people like Foley, who were trying to molest little boys, you know, who were part of the enchiladas, the young kids who were like intern, basically intern, part of the intern program for the Congress. I mean, we had a damn pedophile in Congress, and because he was a Republican, a good old boy, they tried covering it up. And that's already well known. Where is integrity with that? See, it's really easy to get into the integrity of politics with the Republicans and whatnot. You know, we do have them in the Democrats, but not to that level. I mean, they had some situations really bad, and I think that's why people turned and looked over for the Republicans, thinking, especially the people who are more thinking they have values or religious-minded, turned to Republicans, but they're baffled. They're a trick. They've just been played the idiot. They had no intention. And now look, we have the integrity situation of the honor system, what's happening with our own Supreme Court. My God, now they chipped away on Roe versus Wade, the woman's choice, with that ban, you know, acknowledging the ban on partial abortions, which doesn't even have a stipulation there if there's an emergency or if the girl was raped. Or, you know, whatever. They're playing doctor. They're playing God. Making the choice. And you know what's funny? They're all men. How the hell can a group of mainly men, by the way, there's only one woman, you know what she voted. She wanted free, you know, have choice. How can a bunch of men have choice, you know, choose? Oh, that's been going on for thousands of years, hasn't it? Men choosing for a woman what the hell they need to do with their bodies. God, where's the integrity in that? Which, by the way, I'm going to have a show about femininity and on Mother's Day, before Mother's Day, my next week, next show in a couple weeks. But where's all the integrity? There is none there, you know? Come on. The Supreme Court, I mean, they're supposed to be the safeguard for our constitutional rights, to protect us for our choice, to protect our choice. You know, they went on the premise of privacy, which in the Constitution, by the way, doesn't have any issue about privacy. I mean, they expanded upon it in subsequent hearing in findings. But the truth of the matter, when you get down to it, it's basically a constitutional right for a woman to choose abortion. But not to get off another tangent here, where's all the integrity? I'm looking and I'm looking. You know, it's ironic. I mean, I remember, like I said back, I already talked about when my dad had said, you know, the old guard or the old school way of doing business, you shook a hand and you gave your word and that was your integrity. Well, it's sort of like the same thing the government does with the people. They shake their hand and, you know, people vote them in thinking that they're going to do what they said they're going to do and then not do counter. That they put their trust, their integrity behind when they place that vote and put those people in the power in a democratic, supposed democratic society. Because we're really not set up as a democratic society, because you would, a democratic society would directly vote for their laws. That would be like voting directly to create a proposition like they do in California and other states where they vote directly in placing a law, not suggesting law, but placing laws. That would be direct democracy. Instead, we have what they call really a representative government, which is really a Republican type of government, representing a republic. So we put our faith, our trust, which creates a level of integrity with our elected officials to carry out what we believe that they will do. In fact, we pay every day you pull out dollars out of your, they pull income tax out of, that's a trust. You're taking your, they're taking your money and you're putting in a trust for them. And if they squander it off, they go, oh, well, I guess you'll just have to go in the next election and vote them out if you don't like what they just, the public officials did with your money. Because that money they just took is in trust. That's part of your integrity. You know, and it goes two ways. Like they'll say, "Oh, you didn't pay your taxes," or "You, so many people aren't paying their taxes," or whatever. And, but on the same token, they shouldn't be building bridges to nowhere, paying billions of dollars into an illegal war. Is that the trust? Here's Bush wanting monies to continue to place into an illegal war. Why is it illegal? It was illegal because he lied. It's like, he lied while we got in there. It's illegal. They weren't a threat. They weren't about to attack. They didn't shoot any missiles over us. It's not like we're in Israel and, you know, understanding when Hezbollah or Hamas start shooting little rockets or bombs or something, and then we, of course, they defend themselves. It wasn't like intimate that they actually were getting a bomb or weapon of mass destruction go after Americans or other peoples. So it was a legal war. So where's the integrity behind and the justification for going into war? And the integrity behind the monies? Because now the Senate and the Congress are placed upon, or have just voted in, giving monies, our money, with our trust, even though over 60% of the Americans are against the war and want us out, put in there, here's your money, George, but we want a timetable, just like what the American people wanted, which why we took over the Congress, why the Democrats took over the Congress, both Senate and House. We want to set up a timetable. We want a timetable with, like, benchmarks, basically. Yeah, here's your money, but they have to. The Iraqi government has to do this and that, and move forward to their own taking care of their own security needs, creating a political situation for their country to stop the sectarian violence that is their problem, that they are in a civil war and dealing with it. Maybe even set up a political help by the United States and other countries to facilitate probably an amicable resolution for their sectarian violence. But what does Bush do? Hell, no way. You guys don't want to send the money, so you're not protecting the troops. Well, isn't that sort of funny? Isn't that sort of a bunch of bullshit? Sending our troops, wanting money to send more troops to die. You know, it's like somebody said, when the last soldier will die on an unjustified war. I mean, I feel sorry for all the soldiers, in fact, people who have died unnecessarily or injured or maimed for a war that we was not justified. That were used like pawns. How can you look people in the face? Where's your integrity, Mr. President? Mr. Vice President? Where's your integrity, Republicans, neocons, Michelle Malkins, and Coulters? We know theirs is. The O'Reillys, we know his is. Where is your integrity? Because you don't have any. We already know that. So how can we place our value of integrity upon these people? They don't have any. They're willing to sell their own mama to make another buck. That's their concept of integrity. And of course, for every action, there's a reaction. So where's the integrity? And like I said, you know, I'm going back again, you know, hell, the mafia had better integrity. I say that. When a mobster would make a deal with another mobster about controlling an area, they just had their word. They would go and go, hey, you control the south side, we control the north side, and you take care of the, your little whorehouses, we'll control our little, you know, whatever, and we all control together. That's, and they did it on a shake of a hand. That's what the mafia did. And of course, what they did do, they had their own set of judges and jury and trial and prosecution, which is, you didn't abide by what we agreed to, then they killed you. Here in our civil society, you don't buy and follow through with a contract, you're not killed. You just get a judgment against you and they take the money from your pocket. That's it. Or, you know, put a lien on your house when you don't make your payments or foreclose. By the way, that's part of integrity. All those are contracts. So where's the integrity in politics? Where's integrity when you have a mayor or a state official? Where's the integrity? Do they really follow through with their promises? They're voted in. You know, it's where's the lack of integrity? Like I said, integrity is a thermometer. It's a level. We all have different levels of it, and it can change. People can change. You never know. People can have, you know, from no level of, maybe here, I'll give you an example. It'd be like, for example, a boss. You're working for him. And he invites you and a group of people, hey, come on, and it's during your work hours. We're having a going away party, you know, for an somebody who's worked there for 10, 15 years or whatever. And come on over to the party, you know, during your work hours. You go to the party, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. After the finished party, you go back to work. By the way, you're still on time. You're on work time. Technically, you're legally, you're probably work time. And this is the integrity. And then all of a sudden, comes payday. Right before your paycheck. Boop. You're docked for 2-3 hours while you were at the party. The very party he invited you to. Where's integrity behind that? Exactly. There was none. Integrity is your word, your honor. But then they can change too, because like the same individual who just gave, who did dock that check and that boss, he can turn around and all of a sudden go, hey, you know what? This guy did such a good job, and without even him requesting it or anything, gives him same employee a raise, gives him even not a yearly, you know, they usually get like Christmas or yearly bonuses out of nowhere. Here's your bonus. People can change with their level of integrity. Because things happen in life. Maybe somebody comes to a realization of what's really important in life. That can change a person's level of integrity as well. People grow. You know, if somebody sees so many people dying and they realize that life isn't absolute and life is very short, that can change their outlook on integrity as well. They might say, hey, you know what? Worrying about my 9-to-5 job is not the most important thing. Maybe it's my family. Maybe, hello? Maybe it's...
Hi. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Yes.
How are you today?
Doing pretty good.
That's great. This is Leilani calling from Arizona.
Oh, how you doing, Leilani?
I am doing great. I was really listening to your show, and so I just kind of wanted to talk about a few of those things. you know, I've had some shows similar to what you're doing today, and there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. And I was just sitting here pondering on a thought here, and one of the things, one of the components that had actually came up on my own radio show was that it was time for all of us, meaning humanity, to give ourselves permission to say, no, this is unacceptable behavior. And, you know, God says when two or more people stand together, there is power. And what I found very profound as my show unfolded, you know, we did touch on, you know, how we as a society has indeed given our own government and other governments permission to do a lot of the things they're doing. And, you know, one of the other components to that is we were also discussing about, you know, there's still so many people on this planet that would prefer not to know that these things are really going on, meaning their heads are stuck in the sand, so to speak. So my question today, not only for myself, but for you as well, and all the listeners of BBS Radio, what does it take for all of us to finally realize that we have to stand united together as a collective body to stand up and say, no, this is, we're not tolerating this anymore. And I do believe that one of the elements that we've all forgotten is that we are the ones who put these individuals in their positions, and we're paying them.
Leilani, that's pretty much what I was explaining and expounding upon was integrity. When I talk about integrity or honor and how we put people into power and our trust, it's a mutual binding of integrity. In fact, integrity, I would say, like, is almost like the backbone of spirituality, very much so, because it deals with your truth. Because you have to have truth with yourself. It deals with your self-worthiness. So when you're talking about people going, hey, you know what? We all need to bind ourselves together and look and make, you know, and work together to, you know, as a force, more or less, and in a positive manner, and against situations where there's a lack of a goodwill or integrity or maliciousness. But that part is also has to deal with self-worth. And if people can't look upon themselves with any self-worth, they're not going to move forward. And so that is, and it's, by the way, their self-worth is their own choice. Sometimes you can only stay so much, and then they still have to choose. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They can only go so far. You know, you can only show people, go, here's the door, and there's the wall, and you're pointing to the door, walk through the door, and you guess what? There's a whole bunch of light, and there's a garden there and everything else, and they'll still walk into that door. And you go, there's the door again, and they'll walk right into the door. So you can only, up to some point, you can keep on trying and trying, you know. And then, and the same token, it relates to ourselves, I think. It's our, not to get caught up in our own ego, that when you're trying to tell somebody to do it, if you get involved and entrapped in your own ego, we're trying to tell some people to, you know, empower themselves, and they don't do it, and you get all upset, then that's a reflection of your own self as well.
Yes, yes. You know, I know there's other components as well, but, you know, that is the underlying core issue is, of course, of self-worth, because then we have to ask ourselves as a society, you know, what are we truly worth? How do we get beyond breaking those barriers down that we've been so used to, obviously, been programmed to believe? And, you know, I found myself as a human being as well for many years, you know, it was just real comfortable with the way things were. And, you know, don't dare come walking into my world and trying to shake up that of what I knew. You know, it's like wearing a good old T-shirt with a bunch of holes in it, you know. What? You want me to throw that away? I don't think so. So, and I'm really, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm really getting this stuff. And, you know, I've been on my journey for for many, many years, and I do believe that we all come to a point when we start really, really looking at everything around us. But still, you know, and I'm so glad that you're talking with me, because what does it take for all of us to drop the low self-esteem about us individually and as a society to where we can start joining together as a unit, to say no more?
Well, I think the first product, I think, and it's really hard for people to realize because we've been stamped ingrained with it, is the concept of fear. If you remove the illusionary factor of fear, and people will then realize, wait, if, you know, because fear is basically the method of bringing a person's ego down, or rather their self-worthiness down, besides, along with guilt. It's like there's an old concept, and this feels like a little bit about Kabbalism. There's an old story about our lifetime, the physical lifetime that we're on, is but a famous Kabbalist said, you're walking on like a narrow path, but you in a narrow bridge, but you can't really fall off the bridge. It's just an illusion that you can fall off, but there's nowhere to fall off to.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's no fear. In our lifetime, we think that, oh my God, we're going to die. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Or what's going to happen if this situation comes up? And there's our immediate reactions of fear, because it's been basically ingrained to us. You know, you it's not to say, hey, you know, somebody's going to bring a gun, you're not going to be frightful of it. That's our normal, our original reaction, you know. But
mm-hmm.
on the real sense, your spirit has your soul, which is the real, has no fear. There is no fear, because you may die, and then you keep on going. It's like, I mean, you've ever seen people who are like about to die, you know, they have cancer or some terminal diseases, and when they come to, because I think death is like the ultimate fear for most people, then they come to a realization, they almost like welcome it, you know, in some senses of not welcoming like, oh, yippee-yay, but accepting it, and they realize, and that wipes out that fear. And if you get rid of that fear, then the person can move to the next level and say, you know what, there's what am I be afraid of, and then the next step is looking to who you are and truly loving not only yourself, and I'm not saying loving yourself like in a narcissistic sense, but loving yourself and your self-worthiness, and those, since we're all part of one, we're all one and the same, all our souls, every individual, every single thing, every element, then that's when we move forward. You know, it's like when people realize what we are, like in quantum physics, how related we are in the physical sense, but also in spiritually, it's the same thing. Then they'll realize when you go and attack somebody else or hate somebody else or do something else, you're really doing the same. You're really doing, it's part of you. It's your arm. It's like your Siamese twin. And
yeah,
we need
to do that soon. I mean, you know, as a society, we, you know, it gets to a point when, you know, when do we move beyond just talking about it and, you know, into action? And I'm really getting that part as well. I mean, you know, because we can hash these things out for eons, and we have been. So, you know, I encourage all the listeners this today, you know, to really get involved with your show, because it takes a lot of courage to actually broadcast the subject matter that you're broadcasting, and I salute you for that. And,
thank you.
And, you know, ask ourselves, what can we do as a society to get beyond that and start showing in action that we're all worthy of a better world? I mean, I sit and envision what that will be like when our world shifts and we no longer have to tolerate the things that we're tolerating today, you know, and all the subject matters of listening to our government. And it's not to beat up on them. What do we need to do to help them give themselves permission to say, okay, society is ready to hear truth and
right, like
working collectively together?
Yeah, I think, you know, if fundamentally, like, we move our ways from apathy to engagement. That was the first step, you know.
Yeah.
People, you know, it's like, I'll give you an example. Like, I mean, here, I think, you know, I always believe that certain things happen for a reason and they're thrown at us to help lift us, as in joining us as a humanity. And I think the one here, it is with global warming, where it's going to be affecting every single person on this planet and after effects. And yet, you know, like the engagement with the film, with Al Gore's film, you know, with, you know, which I love his title, but Convenient Truth, because it's not convenient. You know, it's not inconvenient truth telling us where we are. And as a humanity, here's an action pressed on. And now we have to look on how we can physically change our own planet, and our own actions behind that will, you know, show us. I think it's more, you know, action oriented, not just sitting there and, you know, worrying about sucking on your bong or drinking your beer or watching the next TV show or whatever, play your video game, but to engage into both in a political sense, whatever you can do to make, you know, for example, global warming. I think that's a real good one to encourage, you know, all humanity that we're all part of the same, whether white, green, yellow, purple, whatever language you speak or what God you believe in. We're all on this little planet, and I think that's an opportunity for us to engage with our elected officials or those in authority or even those within our own authority within our own business world as well.
That's an interesting point that you brought up, you know, you just made a statement on, is that, and that's probably one of the key elements that we're all missing as well as a society, is that we are the authority, each one of us, individually and collectively. So, you know, I just wanted to be able to, you know, I didn't mean to keep you on so long, but I really thank you and commend you, and
thank
you know,
you.
It's time for all of us to step up and take responsibility and accountability, not pointing fingers, but more or less, let's all ask ourselves today, what can we do to help make our world a better place to be for ourselves individually and collectively? On that note, thank you for allowing me to share my own thoughts.
Well, thank you for coming on.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, on that note, you know, she brought up Leilani brought in some very interesting issues with concepts. How? I mean, we all could say talk is cheap. Walk the talk is basically what she's trying to say. We need to walk the talk, not talk the walk, and get into doing actions, you know. And you can do, like, little things, not just, like I said, there's, like, from the global warming, showing your integrity in dealing with humanity on that level. There's your friends, you know, or people who might be seem more shallow or not, you know, you can only do so much, but then there's your own self-worthiness itself. If you go and present a situation and they go, hey, where the hell, this guy's just way too deep. You know, you got to realize that's where they're coming from, and you might be on another different level as far as that. And you can't force people to change. You can only show them, like I said, there's the door and there's a wall. It's your choice. The person has a choice. You can't get overly pissed off because a person keeps on to hit their head against the wall, and yet there's the door. They're going to keep on doing it. That's their choice. That deals now with your self-worthiness, your own integrity with yourself. So, I mean, you need to walk the talk, not talk the walk. You know? And it goes in all situations. And I think, like, that's why I bring up, and I probably should have brought it up when I talked a lot of them in my past shows about integrity. But I don't know why I didn't. But it is a major concept. It's a major situation. It's a major backbone behind every action that we do. Because it's a reflection of ourselves, not the integrity, the thermometer of integrity with ourselves and toward other people as well. It's a reflection. You know, we see things, we act upon it, and the way we act upon it shows our level of integrity, you know, what we do. You know, and I just went through the whole realm of the political situation with politics, with the Iraqi war. You know, you can go even further into the Middle East with the Israelis and the Palestinians and the Arabs. Where's the integrity? There was an agreement signed in Oslo. And what was the agreement? I mean, you have two situations. You have where the Palestinians, or PLO, who signed the agreement and became the Palestinian Authority, agreed to no terrorism, remove recognition of Israel, entering in an agreement, no violence, no murder. And then the same token, the Israelis on the other side, their integrity is not, you know, I'm not going to say about expanding settlements within the West Bank, but to make new ones, that was showing a lack of integrity. So they were both wrong. Of course, bombs and killing do not equal expanding a territory. You can't even put them on the same level. But there's a lack of integrity. And then there's an underlying factor. When I say that's a thermometer of a situation, and there are always those thermometers of integrity, what is the underlying factor behind all those situations? It deals with self-worthiness. It shows what you're really, what your true honor is. You know, it's like the Marine, I'm going to die with honor. You know, it's my duty, honor, all that. Well, their honor is their word, giving their word. Giving their word to yourself, giving your word to your child. You know, like I can keep on going on and on. I mean, parents who promise their kids something and then don't deliver, that's not showing your kids any integrity. The same token when the kids promise their parents they won't do it, again, no, and they don't do it, there's not the lack of integrity. That's the thermometer. But what is causing all that? The underlying effect. Which Alani, who was on the show just a minute ago, we were talking, well, what's the underlying thing? What's causing all that? You know, like walk the talk or talk the walk. The underlying effect is we need to have self-worthiness, self-love. You know, if we respect ourselves and love ourselves, and love to realize all everything around us, then that integrity would change, that level would immediately change, that reaction. And of course, it moves up and down, that level of thermometer of integrity. You know, I might not do something I thought was, maybe it wasn't correct or in the lack of. And when you do something wrong, where's your integrity? Let's say you screwed up or something happened or whatever. The honorary thing would go to that person that you messed up and go, hey, sorry, I messed up. And by the way, integrity can act as another situation. When somebody does something for you, or put your book or your show or, excuse me, or you get that bonus or a raise or, I don't know, whatever. Somebody gives you something or helps you, you know, whether you ask for it or not. This thing with honor, the thing having the level of integrity will go, hey, thank you. That simple word, thank you, that action is moved that thermometer of integrity up. Just saying thank you. It's like when people pray, you know, and they say, you know, it's ingrained under the underlying tones of all religions, you know, is when they eat or drink, they're thanking God. Well, that's sort of, and they say, oh, thank you, Lord, for giving us food, or whatever, or for us to be that in Hebrew, or in English, or whether it's Arabic, or, you know, whatever language, people place their blessing on what they receive. That is showing integrity toward, you know, the greater being of God, who they believe in. That is showing their level of integrity. And that same thank you is a form of integrity, the level, you know. And it's like thinking for certain people, your situations, know how hard they might be, because those are choices we've made, basically. Like I mentioned in the past, some of them are karmic. And it may be the worst, hardest thing. Oh, my God, I lost my house. I lost my dog. I lost my wife. It's like a country song played forward. But life is bad, and you feel like it's bad, and those circumstances put such hardship on you. How can you say thank you to that? Because if you say thank you for the obstacles and the hardships, then you've learned your first lesson, that there were obstacles, that there were to teach you how to overcome them. And by accepting them with a thank you, you've already passed that test. You've already learned, no matter how hard it is. You know, you will move forward, especially into the next lifetime or the further lifetimes, you know. And these are like actions that we can move forward and utilize toward a more positive way. You know, like I said, walk the talk, where they're saying thank you. These are the levels of integrity. And with our government officials acting upon it would be the same circumstance. It would also be incorporated with your clerics. Where was the Catholic Church? Where's their integrity covering up priests, you know, the actions of a certain priest who were molesting children? There was none. And then you lose your value, your concept of that church or that cleric who did that. You lost your trust, because integrity expounds upon trust. I know I'm getting real philosophical here, because of that subject. It's so gray and abstract, but it really isn't. It's really pretty simple when you get down to it. You know, I remember somebody once told me, in fact, that was my dad. I remember telling me one time, and sort of pretty much true, is when they say, and this deals with jealousy. Jealousy is the thermometer of success. Because nobody gets jealous of somebody who's succeeding. Or not succeeding, rather. So that's like, you know, it's like very gray. It's abstract. You know? And what can you do? And what kind of actions you can do? Let's start with yourself. Look in your mirror and have integrity with yourself. Accept certain things, your life, the things that has happened. Don't feel guilt about them. Can't change what you've already done. You can only grow from them. That would be one. Number two, look in yourself, and whatever you might find imperfect, improve. Whatever you can't improve, it's just like there, and learn to live with it, basically, and overcome it. Even if it's like a handicap, a look, maybe you don't think, you feel you don't have the smarts, and you probably do. You're just constantly told how you don't have a brain, or hit on the head somebody. It's like whacking a dog. You're told that you're not that bright or that smart or that pretty or that beautiful. Those are situations of your own integrity with yourself. Your self-worthiness, your self-love, your self-determination. So those, I mean, it sounds real easy, and I know it's hard, but that's why part of life. That's why we're in this physical body embodiment, to learn to grow, to heal ourselves, because we all have that lack of insecurity. Because if we had total security with ourselves on all bases, that means our full love within ourselves and self-worthiness. Our vibration from our own souls would be so high, you'd actually die. You would actually move on. Because your soul, your physical soul, your spirit would have such a high vibration, it could not be withheld and within your own embodiment. It'd move on to a new embodiment or a new way. Because that's what happens. You're constantly, your vibration, it goes up and down. You know, more, if you do things in the dark side, for example, your vibration goes lower. Your vibration goes more in the loving way toward the light. It goes higher frequency. you know, and this is expanded upon. I mean, you can, people talk about like chakras and, you know, the faster they're spinning around, well, the faster they're spinning around in the right direction, you know, and the clockwise direction, it's a emanation of your own soul that you've actually healed and you're growing. When it goes opposite direction or low freaks or back, you're going, things are happening toward the dark side or the more reversal. And that's opposite. And that's part of your self-worthiness, self-love. And then how is this, and not being, it isn't narcissistic because it goes on to future other things in relations to people around you, to your animals around you, to the earth around you, to things around you. So when things are talked about, walk the talk or not walk the talk and not talk the walk and move in the course of what you're supposed to be doing and how we can move forward, there are those very simple things. You know, first start with you. I know there are a lot of people who might want to drown their own lack of insecurities and their own self-worthiness by running around helping other people. And they do this because they're really, that's not having integrity for yourself. I mean, it's really great that you're helping somebody else and stuff, but are you really doing it to help the other person, or you're really doing it to hide or cover up your own insecurities? Because you need to really take care of and deal with your own insecurities, your own lack of self-worthiness in order to go forward and help those other individuals, because then you can really help those other individuals. I'm not saying you shouldn't stop helping those individuals. Go for it. Keep on doing it. That's good. But don't do it for the reasons of medicating your own circumstances. It's like keeping yourself busy so you don't have to really look at yourself in the mirror. You know? A lot of people get what they call workaholics, so they consistently work, I have to be busy, I have to constantly do. A lot of times people don't want it because if they sit back and they have to stop for that moment, they have to really look at themselves. And then all of a sudden they get sick. And sometimes the reason why we all get sick is because it gives us that opportunity to really look at ourselves. Oh my God, I'm at home, I'm in my bed, I can't do anything. I have to actually think about myself. Can't do that. So there's little words and actions that we can do. And it's also by, you know, thoughts are things and so our words are things, which one day I'll get into that, especially thoughts, because we, our thoughts and our minds do create things. But it's like when we say things to certain, to kids, and especially, you know, people need to watch how they say things, because you can actually tear down the self-worthiness of a little child just by way you, what you're saying. I'll give you an example. Kid does something, let's say stupid, I don't know, whatever, you know, and what a lot of parents will do, you idiot, you moron, you stupid, they're calling them, you are stupid, you are, they're using words saying, they're encasing the person and telling them and that they're going to be, their self-worthiness isn't crap. Instead of saying their action, by thereby separating the person to their action, go, you know what you did, son was or daughter, that was really stupid. See, the person isn't stupid. What you did was stupid. That would be a big difference. That would be like a start. And then using a positive word, somebody would say use positive reinforcement. Hey, you know what? You did this wrong. Now you learn from it. Just think of now that you know it, you know not to do it again, and you'll probably do this, right? Because you're so smart. That would be part positive. That would be what we could use with our kids. You know, in my book, I wrote a book, well, you all know, author of When the Angels Have Risen. That's one of my many comments, my main thesis within my own book, is ironically, or not so ironically, self-worthiness. In fact, that's one of my issues of in my book I put in there, my idea, and I'm sure it's almost the only one, but I really think, you know, we have a curriculum within school. Here's another action that we could have. within our own, and maybe people can who have access and abilities or whatever, or are listening wherever you are. But incorporate a curriculum within schools of self-worthiness classes, self-worth, to develop self-esteem for children. You know, reading, writing, arithmetic, sciences, philosophy, art, music. Why not throw in teaching self-esteem, teaching self-worthiness to our kids? What a concept. What would happen with these kids? My God. Now, if they have self-esteem and self-worth, do you think they can hate? Do you think they can look at people and say, oh, you're black, you're white, you're green, you're yellow, you're Jew, you're Christian, you're Arab, Muslim, pink, yellow, green, yellow? I don't think so. If you look at what people who are very racist or full of hate, it's because they have a lack of self-esteem. We all know that. That's a basic fact. It's not that they're narcissistic. You know, the Nazis weren't so much in love with themselves. They were, but they hated the Jews and anybody else who they felt wasn't to their level. It was because they had such a lack of real self-esteem and self-worthiness. They had to try to push everybody else down because they were so far down. Look at the people who are real racist and stuff. If people come out, it's ugly. What? Because they have to bring somebody physically down because they themselves look up in the mirror and don't really have that self-worthiness of themselves, that self-love and self-determination. So that would be a concept. Here, put that in schools, part of the curriculum. There's an action. There you go. Leon, too bad I didn't tell her that when she was on there. But that would be a concept. And then, by the way, I have it in my book at the end, and I'm giving that away. That was one of my ideas in there, that the government didn't place a curriculum. Lo and behold, if there had a curriculum of teaching self-esteem amongst kids and self-worthiness, and thereby that thermometer of integrity would go up, there would be a great love and ombaya, I guess some people would say, or kumbaya, and there would be self-determination, self-love. And then if that can be maybe the kids and then teach the parents, or maybe we have the parents also have adult classes and they go to self-esteem schools, you know, self-worthy classes, and they can be taught. You know, I know somebody here was teaching that, so they do it in, like, when they have, you know, violent, you know, domestic violence and stuff, and, you know, and they do these, like, they force the person, he has to go now to classes for self-esteem and hate. And I remember their class would have, that would be their underlying tone for why they have so much violence with them, or hatred, or domestic violence, and that would be part of it, their self-esteem. Because, you know, if you remove that, you develop that self-love and self-esteem, they wouldn't be beaten on their wives or their kids. But that would be a concept. I mean, have kids. I mean, and there could be ways of producing this, and it wouldn't be, you know, like a panel of forming a psychologist just so they have security for their jobs and make it more complex than it is, because it really isn't all as complex as it is. It's very simple. It just mechanically you have to continue consistently help people change their tape, so to speak, within their own minds and remove that fear factor, which I had mentioned earlier in the show, you know, which is hard to do, but it's like layers. Everybody has their own level of doing it, but it can be done. And increase the vibration of that person, you know, within their own soul. And by doing that, that will change the thermometer of integrity. And it would also change society. Just think, if people had self-worth and self-esteem, would there be crime? If people had self-worthiness and self-love, would there be poverty? If people had self-esteem and self-love, would there be wars? Would there be violence? If people had self-worthiness and self-love, would they have elected officials who would be corrupt, malfeasant, get them into illegal wars, kill for no justifications? or self-defense. Now, if this was self-esteem was amongst not just, let's say, in America, America's people or Americans, if this was developed in, let's say, Mexico, and they had self-worthiness and self-love, do you think they would have poverty? Do you think they would need to come into America to just feed themselves and take care of their families? You know, the legal situation here. If there was self-love and self-esteem, that thermometer of integrity would go up in the Middle East. As I remember, Golda Meir had said about the Arabs, there would be peace in the Middle East when the Arab mothers, the Arabs, love their children more than they hate the Jews. Think about it. They love their children more than they hate the Jews. What are they saying? That they have self-love. They have self-worthiness. If they had that, there wouldn't be wars. There'd be mutual recognition. And then that would be also in reverse. Because there's, you know, Israelis who, you know, feel themselves may be different. I remember living there. And if they had self-worthiness and self-love, the same concept, situation. I mean, I'm talking about everywhere. In the Sudan, even to the tribal areas. And it would change probably our cultures. It would change where women wouldn't have to hide behind a veil in certain areas to cover their faces. It would change, maybe in India would get, oh my God, I couldn't believe when I heard this. Richard Greer kisses a girl at an AIDS benefit, and the Indian government wants to arrest him. Isn't that pathetic? Where's the self-esteem and self-worthiness in that country then? That they have to arrest somebody for a kiss? And so we're focusing on arresting somebody who committed murder or rape or corruption. I think that tells us the reflection of self-worthiness. If that were changed, let's say for in India, would you think they would, who cares, they kissed? You would have enough self-worthiness not to, you know, worry about it. Okay, you know. But if they have, notice how, like, and, I'm going to get into a situation where I'm going to talk about, but that's on my next show, is dealing with the concept of the woman. A lot of women are pushed, hit on their heads of their own self-esteem purposely to keep them down. And also throw the little magic thing, thinking that their own sexuality, their own way they look is a concept. And by bringing that is their only, they're creating a fear of their own against their own self-worthiness, knocking them down. Whether it's Western society or other societies, for the society that puts them down, making like second to man, into males or men, knocking down their self-worth. If their self-worth was different, their mothers were different, their children would be different, their society would be different, the level, the thermometer of integrity would change. So there's your action. What would it take? I told you, it's real simple. It is really, really, really simple. The change of the thermometer of integrity, which would be from our self-worthiness, our self-love, our self-esteem. And we can do it by having, for example, a class, or a simple doing an action, or, you know, looking yourself in the mirror. You know, was it somebody said God loves those who help those who help themselves? That old concept, God, I'm probably not saying it right, blah, 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 I'm mumbling it. But the whole point of that concept, God will help those who help themselves, is what? Because you love yourself. You have self-worth. You know? It's like, people understand, they think, I'm getting into a religious thing, but they think that God is this little guy who sits on a little hill and he moves everywhere around and plays war games. Well, in reality, God creates a game and puts down the whole rules and all the little wiring and everything, and he sits back and lets everybody make their choices. And basically that's it. Here it is. not saying he's like a machine or she's a machine or it's a machine or however your concepts of God. But it's all a matter of way it's looked upon, you know. And it all comes down to our self-love and self-esteem. God gives us this opportunity to change it. What's the difference between us and animals? Animals don't have a history to change their own elements. You can train them and do things, and then they change. You know, we supposedly domestically change them, you know, our domesticated animals. But basically, our souls, our own souls, because there are, you know, people, the souls transfer. You can, there are souls that transfer into the form of dogs and animals and such. But they're, when you're embodiment into a human soul of the human being physical, because part of even your own flesh has a soul to it, which they call in Hebrew nefesh, you've been given the opportunity or choice to choose. And that choose gives you opportunity to improve yourself, the opportunity to change your self-worthiness, to grow your self-esteem, to move your vibration to a better level. And so what are the actions that you can do about doing that? I just said it. You can, many methods, you know, you look yourself in the mirror. There's many self-help books. You know, there's so many opportunities out there that even our society has outlaid for us. And I think even the best would be if it was put in a more of institutionalized form where it would be incorporated in our curriculum with schools to help people grow from childhood on, and then perhaps have adult schools do the same thing. And then if they'll, in the meantime, there's their actions, you know, how we look on our societies with, you know, all Mother Earth, since we just had Earth Day just not long ago. That's a reflection of ourselves, our self-worthiness, how we relate to Earth, and where's our integrity behind that. So like I said, I could talk about the I word, integrity. People talk about the I word, impeachment. Sort of relate in a way, because it's sort of like our impeachment of ourselves, our trial amongst ourselves, the level of integrity we have. So I'm coming to my, toward the end of my long dissertation here with philosophy, being very philosophical. But I felt it was a real backbone, because when I talk about integrity, people look, whoa, what's that? And it's never really brought into this concept of a lot of people who consider themselves, you know, portray themselves spiritual. You know, they don't. A lot of people don't look upon as being very spirit. You know, integrity, spirituality is not sort of, no. They're one and the same. You know, and people who do things, let's say, all New Age or whatever, and you know, for example, they want to meet you and let's have a, you know, meet you on this time, and they sort of flaky. Being flaky is not having much integrity, right? And that's why it's also really important. Like, if you are getting advice and you have a meeting at a particular time, and somebody says, hey, I'll be there at 12 o'clock, and you're there at 12 o'clock, then be there at 12 o'clock, because that's part of your integrity. And that's a reflection of self-worthiness. But you showing up on time is giving respect to that individual, and that person will respect you, showing a respect, which is a vibration within itself, concept of self-esteem, self-worthiness, in his light, in underlining tones. And if you can't be there on time, on this specific time, then you would call up, hey, if you can, because some things happen, you do as much as you can, hey, so I'm going to be 10, 15 minutes late, da-da-da-da. It gives them an opportunity to decide on what their situation is. But that would be like the honorable thing, of having integrity. So it goes from beyond, integrity goes beyond, it incorporates, it is basically the backbone of spirituality. And I want to thank all the listeners out there and future listeners. And of course I want to thank BBS Radio for having me spill my gutsier on When Pigs Fly. Oink, oink, oink. People ask me, why did they come up with the word pigs fly? Because there's no bull here. I'm just telling it straight how it is, or trying to anyway. And for those you get a chance, check out my website, www.andrewfetter.com. You can, if you want to know who I am, what I am, or what I was, or am, has a little bio about me on there. I think they even have that on my site there. And you can also check out my book, When the Angels Have Risen, which deals with aliens, extraterrestrials. I don't even like using aliens, because that's like extraterrestrials a little bit better. And a civil war that breaks out within the United States, and a change in around the world over the concepts when they find out the biblical events have really cause and effect by extraterrestrials. And I just wrapped up, by the way, everybody, on my next book, which is called The Heretic, which will be coming out toward the end of the year. It's being sent out to my lead editor. And when that's done, it'll be out and out. It's a sequel to When the Angels Have Risen. Of course, I'll let everybody know. And just again, to remind you, if those who can come out, on May 12th, Saturday before Mother's Day, from 1 to 5, I'm having a book signing event at the Psychic Eye Bookstore at 6848 West Charleston, Las Vegas, Nevada. So if you're here in Las Vegas already, come and say hello. I don't necessarily have to buy a book. Just sign a book. If you have your own book, I'll be happy to sign it. You know, if you come into Vegas, see me then. You know, like again, the store is located on the cross streets are Rainbow and Charleston. It's on the northwest corner. And with that, I want to say to everybody, thank you again. Peace and love throughout. And God bless you all. And thank you.